Acts chapter 3, and we'll read the first 10 verses. If you're willing and able to stand with me in honor of God's word, we'll read this together. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' They took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." We've talked much this month about missions and witnessing. As of late, a lot about witnessing. We talked much about giving. We touched on that again this morning in the Sunday School Hour. And today is going to be the last really heavy emphasis push on the whole missions month. We're taking the flags down after today, and we'll be moving forward with what God has for us and the needed messages coming up with the time of the year, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then our series a little bit that we've been in before the missions month started. And we put a lot of emphasis on all these things. And again, today, one last time today, but and then a little bit tonight. But I think the emphasis today is more on caring, Because if we care about the things of God and we care about souls, then we'll witness. Amen? And if we care about the work that missionaries have across the world and the work that they're doing, then we'll give. And if we care about making a difference in our world, then we'll enact upon that. And so, again, I think the emphasis today is more about the heart behind what we're doing. And that's kind of what I want to focus on with this story today, that we have two people here who cared enough to stop and be used of the Lord. And so let's pray and we'll get into it. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful and thankful. We do have a caring church. I have no doubt about that. Some might think that whenever a pastor preaches on something, it means that he thinks that the church is really struggling with it and really needs to be corrected. And this is a lecture. It is not, Lord. This is your heart. And this is something that ought to be on our hearts. And I think there are people here who definitely have demonstrated that. And whether it's seen or not, there's many demonstrations of caring that have not been seen by me or by anyone else. But Lord, you see it. You don't miss a thing. And I'm thankful for that. And yet, Lord, even if we are those individuals, whether we witness, we ought to witness more. Whether we give, we ought to have the right heart behind giving, and so on and so forth. Lord, may we be a church that cares, because that's a characteristic of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ cares. And so, Lord, may we implement that in our lives, and then help us in this. Lord, there may be other needs that I don't know about this morning. Maybe somebody needs to be saved this morning. And if that's the case, that they don't know for sure if heaven is their home, Lord, would you convict their hearts not to put it off another day, but to get that settled today, because they don't know what a day may bring forth. They don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And Lord, so may they get that settled today and respond if you're convicting them about their salvation. Maybe there's Christians who just need some encouragement. Somehow, Lord, would you meet that in this message? Maybe there's physical needs that are just causing a burden, or financial needs. And so, Lord, only you can meet those needs anyways. And even in a message that may not be geared towards those things specifically, Holy Spirit can do great things. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help me to preach your word and hide me behind the cross. And may I say only that which you desire to be said. And Lord, may we respond and be involved even in the message by response locally, even, Lord, and just help us to put aside the distractions of our lives so we might receive for all you we have for us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Thanks so much. You can be seated. The song that Miss Sherry sang fit perfectly with the message today. And then the little illustration I just mentioned about Cecil Powell, I hesitated to even say something in this message about it because I've used it before. And so sometimes repeating things, I understand how that is. You've heard it and you might be able to just tell the illustration to me that I'm trying to use for the message, you know? And yet it just, the Lord, I think, just worked those things out. And I wasn't going to say it after a song, but the song fit perfectly. We ought to care. We ought to care. And when I think of somebody who prays and I think of somebody who cares, I can't help. He's one, Cecil Powell, is one of many individuals that pop into my mind. I can see his face and I can feel the hug and I can feel the loaded handshake. You know what I mean? That it was loaded. It was one of those handshakes that had $400 in it. And it wasn't like, oh boy, here we go. I got a bunch of money. It was overwhelming that he would think of me that way and my family. And I got a tear in my eye. And this was a man who cared. This was a man who prayed. This was a man who took his time to, in his day, to think about the LaGrosse family and to pray, he and his wife. And I've said this before, but when we went back a year ago to Indianapolis to visit family, and I hadn't seen Cecil in years. I knew that he had dementia. I wanted to go and just stop by and maybe catch his wife and Miss Kathy. And so we went out there, or I went out there, and it was in the country, and they have some property. I remember going out there, and I remember in the back of his house, back in the yard. I mean, he had a lot of acreage. And this guy loved to golf, and so he created a tee box, and the property went down into a creek and then up on a knoll right there. There was a green that he had up there with a flag. And I remember going out there when we lived in Indianapolis, and I'd visit him, and he'd be out there and just short little wide guy. I mean, but he could hit that 9-iron perfectly, man, and just land right there and get some backspin on it, and get it in the cup once in a while. And he was a fun guy to be around, and he was a construction worker. His forearms were just like that. I mean, just he was just a man's man. But when he gave me that hug and he had that told me he prayed, he had that tear in his eye. You know, and you don't see that in a man's man too often. But I saw that there, and just they meant a lot to me. Well, when I went out and visited a year ago, that flag was still there. And the tee box was still there, but it was overgrown with grass. The bushes had kind of encroached back into where that green was, you know, because he wasn't out there taking care of it. His wife didn't care about it. It wasn't her thing. She's okay physically and mentally, but he wasn't all there to even worry about it and take care of it. And I just remember the memories just going over there and seeing that. And I walk in and he didn't recognize me. You know, didn't recognize me at all. But she kind of struggled a little bit as well because it was a long time ago. There was a lot of people in that church. But as I started telling the story about Autumn just being a few weeks old and almost dying, she finished the story for me. And she said, I didn't remember your face, but I remember the situation. And we prayed. And she said, did my husband give you money? I said, yes, $400. And she said, yes. And when we were talking about that, he's sitting right there. And he looked at me and he said, amen. I have no idea. Now, he could have said amen at any point in any part of the conversation. But I just looked at him and I said, you may not remember this at all, Cecil, but I'm thankful for you. Thank you for your prayers. And thank you for caring about us and our family. And it made a difference. It made a big difference. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, if you'll look at this. Paul wrote the believers in Philippi, and he spoke highly of two caring men, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Paul had a group of loyal helpers, and these two were amongst this group. And Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul said, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Even though Paul had mentioned Timothy and Epaphroditus was later in verse 25 and on, and obviously Timothy, he said there's no one else like them. There's no one else like my small group of loyal helpers. There's no one else who stands out in this way. But his words were, who will naturally care. It's just something that comes naturally. It's something that's just second nature. It's part of them that they will naturally care for the well-being of those in Philippi. And we need to have that same mindset in our hearts and our minds. We all care. I don't think any of us in here would say, I don't care. We do care. We do care for souls. We care for the lost. We care to help those in need. We care for each other. We pray for the needs. That's not a question, I don't think, here at Northwest Baptist Church. But there's just something about somebody who stands out. And Paul is saying, these people stand out. Cecil Powell stood out. He's a good man, whether he walked up to me and gave me that hug and gave me that loaded handshake or not. He was a great man. I already loved him before any of that had ever occurred. But when he did that, he just stood out a little more. I never would have faulted him for not doing so. I never would have thought anything less of him for not doing those things at all. But I think a lot more of him now that he did. And that's what Paul is saying here in Philippians. And from this scene in the lives of two early church members back in our text in Acts chapter 11, we see, or Acts chapter 3, I mean, we see a great need. I think I told you Acts 11 earlier. It's Acts chapter 3. And in verse 2, there's this need. Again, a lot like Sunday school, this morning there was a need. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. The reality is that there was a need. And sometimes that's inconvenient. Sometimes that's an inconvenient reality. Sometimes it kind of gets in the way. There's a need. Here's another need. And we like to avoid those sometimes because we're busy or because life goes on or it interrupts our day or we have our own needs. And sometimes we wouldn't say it out loud, maybe necessarily, but our actions might say that I'm too busy. My actions might say, even as a pastor and somebody contacts me and whatever the situation might be, it might be late, it might be early in the morning, it might be something going on, I might be out of town or whatever, and my actions, if I'm not careful, I'm human too, just like the rest of us, I would never say it out loud, but my actions might say, really? Right now? When I'm doing this? Our actions, let's be honest, our actions might say, don't bother me right now. It's an inconvenience. I've worked. I'm tired. We just sat down for dinner. I'm a needy people too. But if we care, and if we desire, and if we strive to make a difference, then we'll see the need and we'll have a desire then to meet that need. The needs are different all over the place in this world, and the opportunities that come up. In this man's case, he needed strength to walk. He was simply lying there. He was helplessly sick. And he was diseased, much like the people around us are diseased in this world. Are they not? Yeah. I don't mean just physically, spiritually speaking. Sin and morally crippled. And increasingly, we find ourselves turned off by the sin of this world. We want nothing to do with it. Somebody walks in the church and they might look different. They might act different. They might smell different. And you might be repulsed. Hopefully not, but you might be repulsed by that. You might, you know, protect your kids or you're out in public and you know, there's somebody who clearly has a need, spiritually speaking, but we don't meet their spiritual need because we aren't attracted to their physical need. We don't meet their spiritual need because physically they turn us away, so to speak. And we're repulsed by that. Isaiah and I don't want to belittle it though either, okay? So just for a second. It is disgusting, is it not? The sin is disgusting. It's disgusting when I go back home to Seattle, Washington, once in a while when I visit, and I'm driving down the freeway, and I remember on the side of the freeway right there, and beautiful green like pasture with some buildings behind it in the Seattle area, and now it's just filled with tents. I mean, just tents of people, and if you wouldn't walk through that tent city, you would see. I mean, you'd be walking by needles and people just disgusting. It is gross. It is a repulsive thing. And then sin is a repulsive thing. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." He goes on to say in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5, "Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot," picture this, "from the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." I think we understand. He's not talking about somebody's physical features here. He is talking about their spiritual condition. They are just, and talk about the nation of Israel. They were just completely inundated with disgusting sin. Jesus, or the Lord said, our sins are as what? Filthy what? Rags. Just nasty, disgusting rags. Filthy rags would have been connected to those who were bound up with rags and bandages who had leprosy. That's the picture. That's how God looks at our sin. That's how God looks at the sin of the world. And these guys walked by, Peter and John, and they walked by, and they saw this man's physical need. They saw also his spiritual need. And they cared. Now, it is disgusting, but instead of being repulsed to a point where we turn away and we say, "I don't want anything to do with that." And I'm not talking about just taking some change out of your pocket and throwing it in the can that's sitting on the side of the road. That's not what I'm talking about. But we see somebody's need and we know they need Jesus Christ, the personal Lord and Savior. Oh, I know they have physical needs, but let's not allow somebody's physical need to be so repulsive to us that we walk away and care nothing about their physical need. I mean, their spiritual need, which is Jesus Christ, which is salvation. We got to be careful with that. So he needed strength to walk. The second need he had was obviously substance for living. This crippled man was asking for alms. He needed financial assistance to meet the needs in his life. And we do that. I mentioned it this morning. We're not going to take a long time to talk about it. But as a church, there are a lot of things that even behind the scenes that, maybe many don't see, where we have opportunity to meet some physical needs with individuals, and we cannot meet every need. And some of you might have been thinking, well, I can't stop and talk to every person that I see. No, you can't. And Peter and John didn't stop and talk to every person that they saw. The Holy Spirit laid on their heart, and they stopped. I don't think it should be a matter of our questioning. Pastor, you're saying I should stop and talk to every person I see. No, the question is this: do you stop and talk to anybody? I'm not accusing. I'm asking. Do we present the gospel to individuals? And they could not, obviously, meet every need. God led them to a specific need, and I believe God will lead us to meet specific needs. And he has purpose behind that. Go to Matthew 25, if you would. Matthew 25, verse 37. You understand, Cecil Powell didn't walk up to every person in the church and hand them $400. Right? And I certainly didn't deserve it. But the Holy Spirit laid it on his heart. Holy Spirit laid it on Peter and John's heart to meet the need of this crippled man. And I do believe that sometimes the Holy Spirit will lay something on my heart and lay something on our hearts, and sometimes we will ignore that prompting. And I don't want to do that. Matthew 25, verse 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When were we able to do these things for you? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Cecil Powell was serving the Lord when he met our need. He was pleasing God when he prayed for us. And the local church meets needs like this, again, like I said, often behind the scenes, but it is common for us to have opportunities to be a blessing to somebody else. And my reason for maybe wanting to be a blessing to somebody, physically speaking, is so I might have time and opportunity to talk to them about their spiritual need, which is Jesus Christ. It's just one facet of caring, of the caring work of the church. So this man needed strength to walk, he needed substance for living, and then, here we go, he needed someone to care. He needed somebody to care. A lot of people entered the temple that day, I have no doubt about it. A lot of people walked back and forth past this crippled man. He was crying out, you know, wanting help from somebody. Somebody care enough, somebody stop. And he might have caught the eyes of many people, and many people diverted their eyes. They didn't want to look at him. They're walking by and quickly glance away. You know, take their kids and push them this direction and try to get away a little bit. But he locked eyes with two men, Peter and John. And somehow he knew by looking at them that they would at least stay. They would at least listen or whatever. And here's my point. When I look at the story and I see this man who had needs, and I think of our world who is in need, many people, more people than we realize, are looking for a person to help. More people than we realize are looking for answers. More people than we realize are wanting to know the truth. More people than we realize are ready and willing to listen to what you have to say to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God might desire to use you as just that person in somebody's life. It might be this week. It might be this week that you're used to meet those needs. But I think many people are looking. Psalm 142, David said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And sometimes what folks think they need is far short of what God really knows they need. Isn't that true? This man was hoping to receive some coins. But he was completely healed of his lifelong disability, and he was saved. People around you might think they need a new friend. People around you might think they need a relationship. People around you might think that they need new tires on the car, or they need some money or finances, or you know, some people might think they need a new home, a new church, a new career. But God knows their need. And ultimately, here's their need. Their need is God. Amen? Their need is God. I know we bring up prayer requests and praises on a Wednesday night and on a Sunday morning Sunday school hour, and people have needs. Then we're not making less of their need, but we need to make more of God. Because what they need is God. And if they don't know Christ as their Savior, and you meet their physical need, they're going to die and go to devil's hell without meeting their spiritual need. The spiritual need is God. So I have no problem praying for somebody's physical need. I'm not saying that. I have no problem praying for somebody's need regarding their health. I have no problem praying for that. But if they need Christ, that's first and foremost. And while people may think they have a personal need that is huge in their eyes, the Lord, that falls far short of what God knows they really need. They need Him. And He might choose you as a messenger of care. So the question is, do you care? Do you care? Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 6, please. Acts 3, verse 6. Then Peter said to this man, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." I don't have money, but I'm going to give you what I do have. That's sacrifice right there. That's the idea of what we've been talking about in missions. I don't have much, but I'll give what God wants me to give. And then he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Remember, he said, "I don't have finances." That might be somebody's answer. But there's much we can give the Lord beyond money. We can do as the Macedonians did. We can give him our lives. Amen? He gave his life for me. I ought to give my life for him. And then he said in verse 7, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." I love it. What a story. Peter and John teach us what it takes to demonstrate compassion here. So how do they demonstrate compassion? They demonstrate compassion by, first of all, having caring eyes to look at the man. It says in verse 4, "Fastening his eyes upon him." Fastening his eyes upon him. Perhaps most of the people to cross his path throughout the years did what came naturally. They looked the other way. We need to see a need such as this as naturally as Peter and John did. They just fastened their eyes on him. When you look at people, what do you see? I mean, you can't avoid the obvious. You notice hairstyle, you notice clothing, you notice skin color and the color of clothes. You notice height. You notice two genders. Amen. Others will size up social status or economic status. But if we're going to make a difference in people's lives, we must see people as Peter and John saw this man. We've got to see them as they truly are. We've got to see people, men and women, boys and girls. We've got to see them. We have to see them as having eternal souls in need of a Savior. We cannot allow ourselves to get away from seeing people that way. I imagine if Jesus walked the earth today and he was at Walmart and somebody said something rude, he would still see their soul. He would still care about their soul. Instead of getting defensive and trying to prove his point, I think Jesus would still care about the soul of that individual. I'm just saying there's things we see and then there's things we forget to see. Jeremiah had caring eyes in Lamentations 3:51. Listen to these words. "Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." When Jesus looked at the lost souls of his people in Matthew 9:36, He saw the multitude, says he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Remember the story of the blind man? Anybody remember the story of the blind man in Mark 8 when Jesus healed his blindness, but he healed him partway at first, right? And when he healed him partway, the blind man, when he saw people, he said, I see people, but they're more like trees walking. And before Jesus finished healing him, he kind of saw people as less significant than they really were. And some of us are like the blind man before Jesus finished healing him, seeing people as less significant than they truly are. We need Jesus Christ's touch to enable us to see men clearly. In fact, Mark 8:24 says, he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And I'm kind of taking something from that text right there and just saying, sometimes we see people a little bit blurred. Sometimes we see people not quite as clearly as we need to see them. And we need the touch of Jesus' hands on our lives and on our eyes to help us see as he would see them. If we could see this world through his eyes, there's a song actually, let me see this world, dear Lord, as though I were looking through your eyes. And if I did that, then I'd see souls rather than somebody who cut me off. I'd see a soul rather than somebody who has a temper problem. Listen, they need Jesus. Oh, I know they need to fix their anger issue, but Jesus can help them with that. And some of us have burned bridges so many times because we've gotten offended in our interactions with people. You're never going to be able to witness to them again about Jesus Christ because you went off on them. You tried to prove your point, or you wanted to be right. And now your one opportunity to tell them about Christ is gone. And I'm just as guilty as others. I'm just saying, these men could have been repulsed by this man, as everybody else was. But they weren't. They cared. And they didn't have caring eyes, but they had caring hands. Peter and John did more than experience emotion. They moved to action. In fact, they reached out by the right hand, helped this man stand to his feet. You know, let me ask it this way. Does God have enough power to have been able to enable this man to stand up without Peter and John's help? Does he have that kind of power? Yes. But he chose to use these men. And God helps those in need by using compassionate people who are willing to become personally involved. There are many things Jesus did that we can't duplicate, for sure. I can't raise the dead. Can't walk on water. That'd be really cool. Amen? That'd be really cool. I can't cleanse lepers. I sure would like to just snap my finger and multiply food. That'd be awesome. Can't duplicate some things. But I can reach my hand out. I can help those in need. Say, well, that was Peter and John that did that. Do you remember when Peter was sinking in water and Jesus reached out his hand? Do you remember when Mark 1:31, where Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up? See, when you lift someone up, when you care enough to get involved, you are in that moment like Jesus Christ. So whom have you lifted? A kind word can lift a person's spirit. A hug can cheer somebody up. A thoughtful act can lift a burden. Oh, this burdens. Just a small act can certainly help somebody's day. Introducing a man to Jesus can lift him right into an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ forever. A home in heaven. And then look at verse 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. It's like a new toy he had on his down there. You know, it's like when I first got a skateboard. Man, I was I was on that thing. Remember, I got a bike that I always wanted. I was into bikes. I was into freestyle bikes a lot when I was a kid. Before I got my driver's license, I got a bike that I wanted, and I took that thing to a half pipe where a bunch of skaters were, and I went off that thing, and I came back down and ruined the rim on that bike. But I had this new toy, man. You know how we are. We still have toys as adults, don't we? You know, my wife got me a 30-06 for my birthday one time. Amen. Amen. Levi used it the other day. Did a good job. These legs were like new toys for this man. He's like bounced, like they were, you know, he's jumping up and down. He'd never walked before, but now he could walk. He had never leaped before, but now he could leap. He likely had never walked into the temple, entered the temple before, but now he was going in unassisted. But that's not all he was doing. He was leaping, and he stood, and he walked, and he entered the temple, walking and leaping, and praising God. Praising God. And his praise was a witness of God's power. His first response to healing was to praise God. His first response to God doing something in his life was to praise God. He wanted everyone to know that God had changed his life. He wanted everyone to know what God had done. And the testimony of a changed life is a wonderful thing. Ephesians 1:12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. People ought to know that you're glad you're saved. If you're glad you're saved, people ought to know. You know what? People can argue with your message. People can argue with your reason and your logic. People can come up with some comeback or something that some rebuttal to a statement you made. But they cannot deny the message of a transformed life. Everyone who saw this crippled man, or who previously crippled man, and who knew who he was, they could not deny that something drastic had happened in his life. Words they could have argued with. A lecture or a sermon, they could have come up with some sort of reason to counter that. But they could not deny something had changed in his life. If you've been saved, something drastic has changed in your life. The Lord's gotten a hold of your heart, and you, even as a Christian, you once were backslid, and now you're living for the Lord. Something drastic has changed. People cannot deny that. And so the skeptics find it hard to explain why somebody doesn't talk the way he used to talk, or go places he used to go to, or tell jokes he used to tell, or he drink the substances, or whatever that he used to be involved with, or behave the way he used to behave. They have a hard time explaining it. They can't argue with the fact that something, in reality, someone has changed their life. Amen? It's because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And other people saw it. Look at verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God. This man was not ashamed. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. This guy didn't have to preach a sermon. He was the sermon. He just did what God had enabled him to do. What did God enable him to do? God enabled him to walk. So he walked. Just do what God's enabled you to do and let God use you. Be a sermon. Show up to work on time and live with integrity and have a godly Christ-like character and mindset and attitude and be responsible and love your family and raise your kids to be godly. Just do what God's enabled you to do. Be a sermon. That doesn't excuse us not speaking, but let's be a sermon in our lives and how we live. Do things that you couldn't do without Christ. And when people ask you how you do them, say it's because of him. It's because of God. And in case you're wondering, though, Peter did get around to preaching. We're not going to spend time there, verses 12 through 26. But listen, there wouldn't have been a crowd to preach if the man hadn't leaped and walked and praised God. People were watching, and Peter was able to say to them, look at Acts 3, verse 16, and his name through faith, look at this word faith is in here a couple times, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong. Faith. Faith is what did this. This man had faith, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Peter was able to preach about faith because this man lived that way. People who need God are watching how we handle situations, how we go through hard times, how we go through the ups and downs of our economy. People who need God are watching how we respond to what's going on in politics right now, how we treat our family members and how we live day in and day out. It's kind of a fishbowl life, isn't it? But Jesus kind of said that's a good thing. Because in Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And the response, the result will be, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's amazing what happens when people care, because two men slowed down and stopped for a lame man. They saw him. They saw this man. They cared enough to look at him, and he didn't have anything to offer them. He couldn't do anything for him. But they cared, and he was healed, and he heard the gospel message, or he was healed, and he got saved, and others heard the gospel message, and many others were saved, and God received the glory. This was a catalyst to cause a lot of issues going on that would start later on, and all because these men cared. So the question is, do we care? Do we care for these missionaries? Do we care for the souls they're reaching? Do we care for those that we get to work with in our neighborhood and our families? Do we care enough to reach out to them with God's love and to reach out and to fasten our eyes on them and to reach out and to lift them to our Savior? Do we care enough for that? Every head bowed, every eye closed at this time. Our God in heaven, Lord, we thank you that you cared enough for us to die on the cross for our sins, to lift us from an eternity in hell and give us a home in heaven. May we have that desire. May we, Lord, purpose in our hearts to be used of you this week in our workplaces and schools and neighborhoods. Lord, help us to care, to fasten our eyes on people. Help us to think about those words as we look at somebody. Fasten our eyes on them. And then care enough to do something about it. Lord, there's physical needs, and I'm not belittling that at all. There's a lot of physical needs, and maybe we do fall short in that area as well. I'm sure we do. But Lord, help us not only to care about the physical needs of individuals, but the spiritual needs as well, and more so than we ever have before as we see the day approaching. Lord, I pray you'd help us respond how you'd have us to this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.